It must have been a morning, something like this. Probably the birds were singing in the trees. I'm not sure that they knew exactly what was happening and what was going on. There were people around, some still sleeping, some up doing their various chores. But it was a day, in many ways, unlike most, or like most, but in another way, unlike most, because it revolutionized human history and obviously changed the course of eternity. That was the resurrection morn of Jesus Christ, which we have come to celebrate this morning. And although all of us are aware of that, we need to state it again. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And all God's people should say, hallelujah. Let's try it again. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is alive forevermore. That truth is absolutely central to our belief as Christians. Whether we are Arabic believers, Korean believers, German believers, English believers, or whatever mother tongue we have, as we come to know God and His reality, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul said that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is absolutely central. As a matter of fact, he said, if Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead, our faith is futile. It's absolutely useless, and we, among all men, are to be most pitied. But, he said, indeed, Christ has risen from the dead. Praise the Lord. You know, the resurrection of Christ is more than just a theological concept. It's more than just something that sets Christianity apart from all the religions of the world. The resurrection, if it is true, has powerful ramifications for your life and for mine every day of our lives. And I suggest to you that it should have ramifications in our lives even this morning. If you go to the book of John, John's Gospel, as he describes the resurrection, I really enjoy chapter 20 as it describes the resurrection because it explains the ramifications of the resurrection in a number of people's lives. I would like you to look with me this morning at least four individuals and one group of people and see how the resurrection impacted their lives on that first resurrection morn. First of all, let's look at Mary the mourner. Verse 20 tells us that she was the first one to arrive on the scene and discover that Jesus Christ indeed had arisen. Now, the passage in Mark that was read earlier tells us that Jesus had previously cast out seven demons from this lady. In other words, she was a very troubled woman, and when Jesus set her free, you can imagine how much she was grateful to him. Her life had been totally transformed by Jesus Christ, and the rest of her days she spent loving, serving, ministering to him and with him. This lady was totally set free by him and captivated. Gratefulness issued out of her life. So when Jesus Christ died, for Mary, losing him in death was like losing a father, a brother, a son, and a friend, and a master all at once. The most important person in her life had died. To say she was devastated would be an understatement. Her life was filled with intense grief and loss. She was an emotional basket case. If you could describe her, she was in an emotional tailspin. Everything looked bleak. Everything looked black. All was lost until she saw Jesus Christ. When Mary met Jesus Christ, the resurrected living one, she was transformed. Instead of mourning, she ran to tell the disciples. You see, the resurrection changed a mourner into a missionary. And it will do the same for us. Look at Peter. In verse 3, it tells us that Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. They ran to the tomb. Now, you remember, if you go back in the Gospels, what was the last thing we read about Peter? It was his denial. There in where Jesus was being tried the night before, he had denied him three times. Now, if you remember, after that, Peter went out and wept bitterly, and Jesus went on to be tried and then went on to be crucified, and then he was dead. Can you imagine the anguish in Peter's heart? He had no opportunity to say, Jesus, I'm sorry. He had no opportunity to say, I blew it, will you please forgive me? Peter was carrying on his shoulders and in his heart that unbearable burden of unconfessed sin. He was holding that inside, wishing somehow there was a way of being able to say, I'm sorry. Wishing somehow there was a way of looking into the eyes of the Master and Savior that he loved and say, I blew it. But he had no chance. But on that resurrection morn, when he heard that Jesus Christ was alive, is it any wonder why he ran to the tomb? We read in another gospel about him meeting Jesus on the shores of Galilee and encountering him there. And we know that that encounter with the resurrected Christ changed him. He absolutely revolutionized him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changed Peter from being a moping penitent to being a mighty preacher. It revolutionized his life. Well, how about John? We could call him John the Jumbled. In verse 3, he also ran to the tomb. He tore off in that direction. As a matter of fact, he even beat Peter. I wonder why. Well, the Bible says that Jesus, in a special way, loved John. He describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He had a very special bond with Jesus, even more than just Lord and Master. He was his best friend. And so when Jesus died, John's whole world caved in. The one who meant most to him in life was now gone. And his life became a black, swirling abyss where everything was being sucked in. And you know what else he lost in that moment? He lost his faith. He who had looked at Jesus, he who had heard his words, he who had heard his promises, who had seen his miracles, who loved him more than perhaps any other man to that point. When he saw Jesus die, his whole faith crashed. It was like a computer just going down and losing all the information. Everything was gone. And he wondered, how can this be? I thought this was the Messiah. I thought this was the Christ. I thought this was the one who would redeem us. Have you ever been there, friends, where your faith just sinks, where it falls apart, and you can't put it back together? I find it interesting how the resurrection impacted John the Jumbled. In verse 8 it says, when he got there and saw the grave clothes, it simply says he saw and believed. The resurrection of Christ changed John from being a griever into a believer. And he can do the same for those of us who are in a similar condition this morning. And then we see in verse 19 of chapter 20 of John, we see the dizzy disciples. I call them that because if you look at them, you see in some ways they were kind of dizzy. It says they were behind locked doors. And I'm reading into the passage, but I see these guys on that day kind of as gutless, spineless, timid, fearful people. There they were, scared of the Jews. They were scared of anything happening to them, scared of being caught, scared of being identified with this one who had been crucified. They were scared to death. They really were. And I find that there's a tremendous parallel between them and a lot of professing Christians today. I don't hear many amens on that one. There is. Jesus Christ asked us, you know, told us that we could be courageous and go and basically take the world for him. And many of us are sitting on our hands and we're scared and we don't know what to do. And we're often like the disciples behind closed doors. And we really don't get out and do what God has called us to do. I find it interesting that this same band of disciples later turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. What was it that changed them? What was it so powerfully transformed their lives? The resurrection of Jesus Christ, accompanied with the filling of the Holy Spirit, transformed this band of dizzy disciples from being full of fear to being full of joy. They went from being underground cowards to overjoyed conquerors. The resurrection of Christ can do the same for us. John 20 wraps up the story with a focus on tentative Thomas. You know Thomas, he's called Doubting Thomas in English. I'm not sure what he would be in the other languages. But he was doubting. He was melancholic. He was pessimistic Thomas. Very descriptive of many people today. Thomas was the kind of guy who believed that if anything bad was going to happen, it would happen to him. You ever met somebody like that? Maybe they're sitting in your chair this morning. I find it interesting that people who believe that usually have those kind of things happen to them. Have you ever noticed? Well, it happened to Thomas. If anything happens, it's going to happen to me. Well, sure enough, Jesus appears to his disciples, and guess who's not there? Thomas. And I'm sure when he heard the news, he said, yeah, just like it. He appears to you. How come he didn't come to me? How come bad things always happen to me? How come good things happen to other people? Sometimes people get caught in that swirl of negative thinking, of unbelief, of pessimism, of constant doubting. That's where Thomas was at. How come other people find it so easy to believe in God, so easy to believe in Jesus, and why is it so hard for me? I must have proof. I have to have tangible proof. That's where Thomas was coming from. And so the next week when he was there meeting with his disciples, find it interesting that when Jesus came back into the room and appeared to them, he made a beeline for Thomas. He went right to him and he said, Thomas, look. Take a look at my hands. Take a look at my feet. Put your hand here in my side. Thomas, stop doubting and believe. And what do we see happen? We see Thomas. It doesn't say that he put his hand in the hole in Jesus' side. It doesn't say that he came and dug his finger into the holes. Because in that moment, something finally changed. Thomas dropped to his knees and declared, "My Lord and my God." Something happened to this man. The resurrection of Jesus Christ transformed Thomas from skepticism to certainty. It changed him from doubting to declaring. It moved him that wide gap from wondering to worshiping. Friends, I don't know where you're coming from this morning. I don't know what the issues are in your life. But whatever they are, I declare to you that the resurrection of Jesus Christ can transform your life. It changed a mourner to a missionary. It changed a moping penitent to a mighty preacher. It changed a griever into a believer. It made a band of underground cowards into overjoyed conquerors. And it changed a wondering skeptic into a worshiping saint. And I declare this same Jesus Christ can change you. And he can change me. Father, we thank you for the reality of your resurrection. We worship you this morning as the resurrected living Christ. And we thank you that that truth, that reality is not just for our heads, but it's for our lives. Thank you for the way you impacted the lives of the early believers. Thank you for the way that you are impacting us even this morning. We ask you, Lord, to so cause the truth of your resurrection to impact us that we can say with Paul, I want to know Christ, and I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made like him in his death, so that I may attain unto the resurrection of eternal life. Do this in each of our lives, we pray this morning, in Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen.